Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for some great Disney talk. We're going to be answering your listener questions here in just a minute. We got a question that's coming from listener Caroline about working out when you're staying at a Disney Value Resort. Lots of options there. They may not be obvious, but stay tuned for that. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com. Home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. I'm down to a mere 4 days to go until I head down to Central Florida for some fun, where I'm going to actually wrap up the trip with a 13.1-mile run through Pandora over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I've been excited for this trip for the next for the last 3 months or so, because every time I get a call, post to social media, or check a text, I see how many days I have left to go. You can do the same. Grab this app right now. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do your online shopping, please support the show. It'll cost you nothing extra, and you'll get all of your Prime benefits, and it really does help cover the bandwidth, the hosting, and really does help support the show in an easy, easy way. So the next time you do that online shopping, please visit beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1314 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. I'm getting ready to pack. I'm heading down to Central Florida here on Sunday morning, bright and early. Actually, way too early for my wife's liking, because she's dropping me off at the airport. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. But we're going to have fun. So follow me on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. Of course, Pam's going to be down there as well. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So follow along on these adventures. I'm not sure what I'm getting myself into, but we'll see what happens. So joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have Ricky and Pam standing by right now. Let's get to Ricky. Ricky's from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, and is going to be a featured speaker down in the ATL coming up here next month, I've heard.
Supposedly. Maybe not.
So, oh, well, you always
are. For those
who
don't know, there is going to be a Touring Plans kind of, it's a speech at a junior high school, and it's sponsored by Touring Plans. It's raising money for a PTA that's down here in Decatur, which is in Atlanta. So if you're in the Atlanta area and you'd like to hear Len Testa talk about, like, basically the unbuilt stuff of Walt Disney World, come to this talk, this speech. I'm going to be there. And supposedly, apparently, there might be a Q&A. I might be a part of it. So, yeah, there's that. So anyway, I'm definitely there for the talk. I don't know about the Q&A part, but I'm definitely there for the talk. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's on May 5th, so it's on Cinco de Mayo.
So if you're there, you got to do this. You got to go, well, that's the interesting thing. I'll pay you $10. I'll buy you all kinds of stuff for Cinco de Mayo. I'll buy you a margarita. Come on.
He'll buy me Harry Potter swag.
No,
right?
I won't do that. I'm not coming home. I'm not coming home with these scarves, wands, or whatever stuff they wear.
Watch
that looks like.
Mike, we'll see. All in on Harry Potter after he goes to the land. Like,
he'll have a
I'll have those glasses for those watching live. Yeah. I'll have my little Harry Potter glasses. Ooh, look.
Yes.
I'm Harry Potter.
He'll get a little fake tattoo of a lightning bolt.
Now, the only lightning bolt I have is on my baseball bat from The Natural. Anyway, also the voice you heard, she's here. Pam Forster, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's up, Pam?
Hey, happy Wednesday. And I can confirm that I will be talking at our agent education program next week.
Oh, that's exciting.
No, I am, but it's just a joke. I mean,
I see.
Of course I am. So anyways, but yes, we're heading down next week to both Universal and Walt Disney World, and we'll be touring one of the Disney Cruise Line ships. So it's going to be packed. We're going to have a week packed. You're going to come home very, very, very tired, and I am too.
I can't believe you said that. I was going to troll everybody and say when I was sailing away on the ship. I wasn't going to say we were touring it. I was just going to check in from the boat, like, and have a picture of me up on the, you know, up on top deck, and everybody thought I was cruising. Oh, Pam, you just blew up my spot. I had it all planned out. Oh.
Well, you have to cue the rest of us in. If you're
yeah,
do
I know.
That.
I got to do that better. Oh, well. Oh,
there well. Were people. There are people who may not hear it. So
yeah, nobody listens to this show, so we're good.
No.
All right, let's get to the questions. That's why here Sherry's got the first question. Hi, Mike and gang. I recently booked a mother-son trip to Walt Disney World with my second grade son. We generally stay at the Poly, but since he is more into Epcot and Hollywood Studios, I decided to try a different resort closer to these attractions. I have a few questions regarding this trip, though, and knew y'all would be the ones to ask. And she's talking about Boardwalk Quick Service in the title. What are the best or what are the quick service places we can grab breakfast and use our refillable mugs at the boardwalk? I feel like I remember y'all discussing a lack of quick service options at the boardwalk, and we pop over to Captain Cook's every breakfast for bacon and coffee to eat in our room. So I may need to have a plan B if there isn't anything nearby. Also, how do you suspect Hollywood Studios will tier the fast passes once Toy Story Land is open? And finally, do you recommend any must-do dining options in the Epcot area? We usually try to maximize our dining plan with character meals, but being that my son will be, when we go, I thought I would do something a little more grown-up that still seems to get the bang that we get out of our table service credit, although I'm 41 and still love a good character meal. Thanks, y'all. Love the podcast. Sherry's down in Dallas. All right, so let's hit the first question first. Pam, I know staying at the boardwalk is one of your favorite places to stay. Quick service, where's she going to go? Refillable mug and all that stuff for quick service dining.
So you can get your refillable mug filled at both the Boardwalk Bakery, and there's a location by the pool, the main feature pool, first. So those are the first part of your question about that. And you know what? If you happen to walk over to the Yacht and Beach Club and grab breakfast at one of the quick service locations there, you can also take your refillable mug because it works at all the resort refillable mug stations. So you don't have to worry about it only being at yours. So you can certainly do that. The other thing you talked about is where you're going to get the most bang for your buck with your table service credits. And I think, first of all, Cape May is a good choice because it's a higher priced meal. It's an all you can eat, a buffet style meal. And that has options for both a character meal in the morning and a buffet style meal in the evening. So those are both great uses of one of the table service credits with your Disney dining plan. Also in the area, you know, Ale and Compass, which we're going to mention on Friday's podcast, it can be a good use of your table service credit. Just look at and see what you're going to use those for. But remember, in 2018, where we are right now, guess what's included? Alcohol. And that tends to make your dining credits go a lot further if you just have a drink. We're not talking like, you know, you're going to get sloshed or something. We're talking a drink.
A refresher.
Refresher, yes.
Or whatever, right? I don't even know what that means.
So anyways, but yes, yeah, go on with that too. So those are some options there, right there in your location. And then there was another part of the question, of course, yep. I've forgotten.
Well, so I wanted to throw in there, though, for in the boardwalk area, if you're looking for, because it sounds like they go down frequently. You know, they stay at the Polynesian usually, switching over to the boardwalk this time. Sounds like they're pretty veteran Disney travelers. Trattoria El Forno, the Bon Voyage meal. Great reviews. My buddy Scott was just down there, did that to kick off his vacation. He went down a couple weeks ago. Enjoyed it. The food he was texting me while I was having my ramen sandwich, which I have every single morning, which is a fried egg on some peanut butter toast. He was killing it with his breakfast, and the characters' pictures there are awesome. It's the Tangled characters. Is it just the Tangled characters, or is it somebody? I think it's two different
stories. It's Flynn Rider and Rapunzel, and then Ariel and Prince.
That's
Eric.
It. Yeah, I knew it was two different, like, they meshed up there. But, yeah, getting great reviews, so that'd be a good place to go, too. So, Ricky, any other thoughts quickly on meals in the boardwalk area, or the Epcot resort area, maybe?
You know, you could end up going over to the Swan and the Dolphin. Those are some options as well. They have a few choices in there, but I think that you guys pretty much named everything else. So
I'd try
that. I think
that.
We're all good. Yeah.
All right. So the other question was about the just guessing how Hollywood Studios is going to tier the fast passes once Toy Story.
We do know that. And the, it hasn't been absolutely confirmed, but I think for the most part it has been. Everything in the Toy Story area, the Pixar area is going to be in Tier 1 in terms of the attractions there that will be in the new attractions, as well as Toy Story and Midway Mania will all be in Tier 1. So
and everything else should be going back down to Tier 2.
Suppose what it seems like. So, yeah. But yeah.
There you have
it. So what you'll have to do is wait in line for one and fast pass the other if you want to do both, or plan 2 days to be there.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Next question is from Caroline. Hey, Mike and the crew, we're staying at Pop in September. I'm pretty sure there is no gym or exercise area at the resort. Any suggestions for us? We want to take a run or get in a small workout in the Pop before hitting the parks. I would appreciate any suggestions. Thanks a bunch, Caroline. All right, so here's the first thing. Pop Century is probably my favorite resort to run at. You got Hourglass Lake, which is an awesome, I would guess maybe it's a half a mile loop, maybe 0.6 miles, and it's beautiful, especially like right at sunrise in the morning. You get out there, you run around, over to Art of Animation and back to Pop Century. And the thing is, there's signs everywhere. On the art side, it's all about animation of the cars and Finding Nemo and Little Mermaid. So you can learn about that as you go. Now, if you run a lot of laps, you memorize which sign says what. And as you're going across the Pop Century side, of course, you're going through the decades where I know in the 60s section, there's a sign about the Gateway Arch when it was completed in 1963. There's also lots about yo-yos and the movie Forrest Gump and Space Shuttle Challenger. I know all the signs because I stay at Pop Century and I love running here. So it's a great thing. If you want to do a little flexibility workout at Pop Century, they don't offer a workout room, but there are Twister games that you can use right there in the middle of the resort. If you go down to the 50s, actually, I think they're in the 70s section. I think they're in the 70s. So you can do crazy stuff like that. But I think you got to get creative with the values, but you can really... The All-Stars are a little bit more challenging to run through. I've actually run around the parking lots there before, but Pop Century, beautiful place to run. So, Ricky, can you think of any other ways to work out? Because once you get to, like, Coronado, they have a really great workout room. Riverside has a great place to run between Riverside and French Quarter. Caribbean Beach is kind of in flux right now, but the Deluxes all have really nice workout rooms. But Pop Century, you're lucky. You have a good place to run. But anything you can think of?
No, I think you got it. Like I said, if you, the only one that I can think of that's like a real workout room that's in the moderate category is Coronado, and that's because that's a convention hotel, so they have to appeal to a lot of the conventioners in terms of things that they like to do, and working out is one of those things. Yep. So, but I think that you've got a great loop to go around with Pop Century if you're looking for a good spot to run. That'll be perfect.
I've run many a mile on the treadmills at Coronado because we came back midday and it was like 100 degrees. You know, I'm not running outside then. I'm going to go watch TV and hit a treadmill. All right. Chris Young's up next, my good buddy out in Western Missouri. Hello to the podcast team. I've forgotten how many miles from Pam, but right now it feels as though I'm a million light years from you in Springfield, or from spring here in Missouri. It's been cold. I was at the Cardinals game this past weekend in Burroughs. It was only 39 degrees. I have a dining plan question that I haven't heard answered before. I know that you can swap a counter service meal for 3 snack credits, which must be used all at once, but the standard Disney dining plan now also includes an alcoholic beverage or specialty drink with the meal. If you swap the meal out for 3 snack credits, can you get the drink with those credits? Asking for a friend. Thanks, Chris. All right, Pam, so how would that situation work for Chris?
Now, so when you exchange a quick service meal for your 3 snacks, you're exchanging the whole credit, and that includes the alcohol. Just like you were when you exchanged before, you couldn't get 3 snacks and a non-alcoholic drink. You can't get 3 snacks and an alcoholic drink either. So you can't do it. You're exchanging it for the whole thing. So typically the better option is if you can just go ahead and pick one of the quick service locations that offers alcohol, if that's what you're looking to do. The other thing you can do is sometimes, I think as families, we can sort of break up our quick service credits, right? Say, you know what, this quick service credit, we're using that to get 3 snacks. This quick service credit, we're using that to get a meal and we're getting a drink with it. So that's an option that you can do like that. But no, you can't get the 3 quick service meals and then also a drink on top of it. Sorry.
All righty. Jennifer's up next. Hey, everyone. I hear you talk about the different lounges around Walt Disney World property. I'm excited to try them, but I have one question. Are children allowed in them? Is there any place to eat that children are not allowed to go in Walt Disney World? We visit Walt Disney World every couple of years and have never thought to check any of these lounges. If children are not welcome in them, we may have to wait a while to see what the fuss is all about. By the way, although I live in Plainsville, Ohio now, I'm originally from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, where my entire family still lives. It's just north of Pam. I think I also love Dippy eggs. Apparently, Dippy eggs were like hot last week when they talked about them. Everybody was excited about that hotness. So anyway, thank you so much for the great podcast. I look forward to each and every new episode and for taking the time to respond to my question, Jennifer. All right. Originally from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, now in Painesville, that's Ohio. Close. Two interesting named places. Talk about the lounges, Pam, because you are the champion. If anybody is, you're the champion of the Walt Disney World Lounge. So what about kids?
I hope someday I'll get my star on the Walk of Fame for lounges. I'm going to be who I don't. I have to campaign that, I guess.
I don't know.
I think you have to help pay for the star, too. So I don't know how that will go.
Yeah, you do.
So I'm going to be campaigning for that, but yes. So you absolutely can take kids to the lounges. That's the beautiful thing about Walt Disney World in particular. Not Disneyland, by the way. You can't go inside the lounges like you can, or like at Trader Sam's, where it's just like a bar. You're not allowed to sit at the bar with children, which we learned when we took Hannah at some point. She was under, this was a few years ago, and we saddled up to the bar, and the woman was not very pleasant about it, I will say. She's like, you cannot sit here. And I was like, why not? And right? She's like, is she over 21? And I said, no. And she's like, well, she has to sit over the table. So anyways, that's kind of going off the subject a little bit, but I did want to warn you about the Disneyland thing, because in Pennsylvania, we don't have that rule. Hello, they're kids are allowed in. So anyways, you can take your kids to the lounges, and they do have some great food offerings. There are some ones that have some great entertainment, like Misner's over at the Grand Floridian, where you can hear the lovely Grand Floridian band, as well as a piano player. It's awesome to just hang out there and hear that. Trader Sam's, you're going to love. Kids are not allowed after a certain point, I believe 10 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. But anyways, the only other place that children are not allowed is at Victoria and Albert's. Children under 10, not allowed to go there. But other than that, you're good. You'll be fine.
Or blue-collar podcasters like me. I'm not allowed there either, so they treat me like a 10-year-old. Because I don't, the whole thing is I know we're, there's one special meal that I'm looking forward to when we go down to Florida, and now I got to find some Dockers. Because I haven't worn pants since I quit teaching. It's crazy. And I wear shorts.
You can wear jeans. You can wear jeans everywhere.
I'm going classy, man. I might even bust out a tie. If I can remember how to tie one. I can't. I'm scared. Like, I'm nervous now. Like, I haven't tied a tie in so long. It was all muscle memory. My grandpa taught me, and he passed away in 2001. So I might have to YouTube that. But it's always hard because it's like reverse. So I'm a little nervous about this trip. I gotta admit. It's making me nervous on many, many levels. And I'm a little uneasy. But anyway, all right, let's get back to the next question. Good buddy George Hart over in the UK. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My parents, sister, and I have a trip booked for July 7th through the 21st. Oh, cool. I'll be down there till the 8th. So hopefully I get to see George. And are really excited as we haven't been since 2014. My question to you is as follows. We don't get to visit Walt Disney World very often due to having to travel from the UK. And since I'm in my second year of university, I'm getting closer to leaving home for good. Your parents are probably excited about that. I know we are. Paige, get a job. Therefore, I really want to do something nice for my parents to thank them for everything they've done for me, especially for taking me to Disney and introducing me to the magic in the first place. Now, hang on. I'm sending this message on to Paige. As soon as I'm done with this one, I'm hitting the forward here and just reminding her that we took her many, many times.
Forward that to me, too.
I will. George is a good guy, man. Come on, Paige. She's not. This has never crossed her mind, I don't think. Anyway, I had the good idea of surprising them to a meal while we're there, but I'm not sure where to go. I know I've missed our 180-day mark by some distance, so it needs to be somewhere with decent availability, and we're staying off-site and renting a car, so getting around isn't an issue. Cuisine-wise, we have a couple of picky eaters in our family, but I'd like somewhere with a few different options and a nice atmosphere. Finally, if possible, it needs to be somewhere that's not too expensive as I'm on a student budget. Sorry for the overly complicated questions. I appreciate that I've thrown so many requirements into this that it might be difficult, if not impossible, to fulfill them all, but I'd love to hear where you guys think and any ideas you might have. I just also wanted to say a massive congrats on 10 years of the BOGP, which is an amazing milestone. I first started listening when I was 12 or 13, and I've just turned 20. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, you didn't have to say that.
People have grown up listening to us? That's wrong.
That's so wrong. He's 20 now. So the podcast has been a big part of growing up for me, and I'm so grateful to you guys for creating this wonderful and welcoming family and everything you do for all of us. Cheers to the next 10 years, George Hart. He's in Malmesbury, UK. He's studying in Southampton, UK, 3,683 miles from Pam. George, we appreciate you. You've been there so long, and you are so a champion of just a kind guy and really just representing the younger folks in our community so well. And I love having a friend over in the UK. Hope to catch you down there before I leave. I leave on the 8th. So we'll have to make that happen. That'd be awesome for me. So anyway, I love this. I mean, again, I'm forwarding this to Paige. He appreciates that his parents have taken care of him for so long. He wants to treat them to a nice meal at Walt Disney World. Ricky, where would you go? Because you can't break can't be Victoria and Albert's. We're not breaking the bank here, but wants something nice. So he had a lot of criteria. What do you think?
First thought was California Grill, just because it is, Disney. It's like the epitome of niceness. So I think that would be my first thought. But then, thinking kind of a little more budget wise, sort of, I was thinking about like maybe the Boathouse. I thought that could be a really interesting, option as well, because there's a lot of different things on the menu that people can choose from. So those are my two choices.
California Grill is kind of a break the bank place to me.
That was kind of what I was thinking at first. I was like that, but it depends on what you get at California Grill too. I mean, if you're not ordering.
You're starting to sound like Pam. You're talking about value versus cost.
Pam has taught me well.
That's it. She's taught us all.
I'm trying to mold you people into some of these
things. 10 years and she's got us. All right, Pam. So give George some suggestions. Maybe one or two places. I'm trying to brainstorm some things. Wouldn't break the bank, but it'd be fun. But what say you?
So I'm going to go ahead and suggest the Wave over at the Contemporary. First of all, we've had great food there just about every time we've been to the Wave. And at first I was really unsure because the first few times I went there, I really liked the food choices, but I just didn't think there were enough of them. And I feel like they've expanded their menu a little bit, but everything we've gotten there has been really, really good. So last time we were there, they had a braised short rib that was served over a polenta, which was so, so good. I'm going to tell you about that. And then the pork tenderloin was really good there. They also have great fish, and that is seasonal. It changes all the time. So I think that there's just a lot of options there that will, you'll be able to find something for everyone. Another choice I'm going to make for you, this is a little more odd, but still lots of things to choose from, I think, is Sanaa. Sanaa is a great location. You can find some unusual dishes there in terms of maybe the spicing is a little bit different. Not that it's spicy. It's just the spices that they use are just a tad different than you're used to. But it's a lot of familiar food just cooked in a different way. So there's chicken dishes and you'll find something that I think most people will like there. So there's so many good choices. I mean, now I'm hungry. We were just talking about before we recorded that I forgot to eat lunch. And it's getting late here in Pennsylvania. So I know it takes a special kind of stupid to forget a meal. And I don't forget many, but I did today. So now I'm really hungry. But there's so many great choices. And I think if you look at a lot of those restaurants that are in that tier one, in terms of using only one credit on the dining plan, you'll find lots of great choices that won't really break the bank.
Absolutely. I love the idea of Sanaa. I think that's a solid hit because it's atmosphere. It's got exotic stuff on the menu. It's got some safer choices. You get to go to Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is always a good time, because it's an experience. Sanaa's the winner on that one. I think that's right there. So good stuff. And Sean in the chat's offering up more motos. That's another place. Really, Disney Springs. You got so many options. We'll be talking on Friday, so maybe that'll help as well. And Donna is in the chat, or Ricky, your mother, and she's waiting for you to take her to dinner on the next trip because she raised you.
I'm sure she is. Yeah, I'm sure she is.
She's ready to go. I love it. Boy, when your parents join in, there you go. You're done.
Mom, I'll be taking you to Backlot Express.
Get some Darth Vader waffles and you're set.
You get Darth Vader. Vader waffles.
Exactly. Heart is like hockey pucks.
Darth waffles, yes.
All right. Melissa's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I have a couple of questions for an upcoming trip and hope you can help. Number one, if my husband and I purchase the deluxe Disney dining package and meet up for dinner with other couples at a signature restaurant, can we use our credits for their meals as well? All right, Pam, jump in on that one. So if you go to a signature, though, it's going to be two dining service credits per person, but you're on the deluxe. You'll have, you're covered there, so you're good. So can they share their credits with another couple?
Yeah, so I believe it was last year that Disney kind of changed the rules on this. They listened to guest feedback, and they said you're absolutely allowed to share your dining credits and pay for whoever you really want to pay for, and you can. So you can, but yeah, like Mike said, remember, two credits for those deluxe meals, but man, some of them are so good. Plus, you get an appetizer. Hello. Right.
You could be like Oprah. I got credits. You get a meal. You get a meal. But don't do that at signature restaurants. They go fast. So just be careful with that. Oprah's probably got more credits than most. Number two, if I purchase a refillable mug at the first resort during a split stay, will I be able to use it at the second resort? Pam, you do splits all the time. Can you carry it over, or is it only for the first?
I do resort splits. Let's qualify.
Okay. Or split stays.
Yeah. I don't think I'm still able to do a split, but okay, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'll try in a little bit. But if you hear pain coming,
you got till June 28th of 2019. That's going to be at the fifth annual podcast cruise in Evolution.
Yeah, Mike, I just want to say that by that time, you and I will be getting closer and closer to the age where we can order our AARP.
That's true. I know. They're getting ready to send me stuff. It's sad. I see those commercials. Like when you work at home during the day, you see all the retiree commercials, and it's like always like life insurance for people 45. I'm like, what? Wait, what? 45? What? I'm still like a teenager. What? What's up with that? Anyway. I know.
And you can get your AARP card at 55. What the
no thanks.
Heck? So anyways, yeah, we do split stays all the time, and you absolutely can use your mug at the next location. As long as you're not going to be doing like a 21-day trip, I don't think they'll allow that. But just explain to them when you book, and they'll look at the date and help with that. If your two trips are within 14 days, you're all good.
All right. Anthony's up next. We're just knocking him down today. Hey, guys, I'm headed back to Disney World with my wife and daughter July 14th through the 20th to celebrate our little one's second birthday. That's a great birthday because the third birthday, cha-ching, so good job. We currently have a four-day park hopper pass and are on the Disney dining plan. We're doing a lot of character meals since our little girl loved them when we were there last October. I have two scenarios and I need help deciding which way to go. Get ready, Ricky. A, spend the evening of our off day, which is Tuesday, at Disney Springs and have dinner at the Boathouse. I know it's a two-table service credits. I'm just not sure if that's a restaurant to take a two-year-old to. It'll be our fourth anniversary 2 weeks after the trip, so I thought it'd be a nice way to celebrate early. B, upgrade our tickets to five-day park hoppers, where we can go to Akershus at Epcot and take our little one to eat with the princesses. I figured we would check out the World Showcase after dinner and catch the fireworks that night. We currently have Epcot planned for the following day with a reservation at Garden Grill for dinner. I'm thinking it may be nice to split Epcot into 2 days so the heat won't kill us. That night is an extra magic hours at Epcot. For what it's worth, that option would allow us then to have a table service meal every day since we wouldn't have any signature meals planned. Any input would be greatly appreciated. Love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Anthony's in Evansville, Indiana. All right, Ricky, what say you to those two scenarios, Boathouse or Akershus and Garden Grill, and adding a day to the tickets?
Oh, man. I think that I would say to do the Akershus and one, because that way you can get the whole family. I know that it's a, you know, romantic, you know, reason that they're doing it, but I would involve the whole family with it, I think.
My guess, so with the two-year-old, okay, because the boat, here's the thing, you got to decide, and really, I mean, you can entertain a two-year-old at most places, and they're, you know, every Disney restaurant is... you know, they're keeping the kids in mind. Now, Boathouse is definitely more of an adult feel to it. It's very good. Now, that's a great place to celebrate your anniversary early, but I would go with the Epcot, the extra day on the tickets, Akershus, and Garden Grill. Two great character meals. The kid's going to love it both places. You're going to love the food both places. I'm a fan of both, especially Garden Grill. So I would do that. I mean, Pam, what do you say? I mean, but really, neither one's a bad situation, but I'd no. still do the extra day at Epcot.
I think I would too, and here's why. First of all, it's not that much to upgrade from, you know, to another day in the parks after you hit a certain level. It is an expense, but it's not, you know, the big expense that it is. And I always think that when you can spread your days out in the park a little bit. And that means a little more downtime, a little more rest and relaxation. And you're not like marching your family through the parks like, you know, a taskmaster. That's a really, really good thing because everyone enjoys their vacation more. So that's why I'm going to go ahead and suggest that one, too. So we're kind of, we all feel the same about this one.
Yeah, we do.
That never happens. That never happens. It does not. It took 10 years. All right, Tracy's up next. Hey, BOGP cast, we had a question about refillable resort mugs and the Disney dining plans. This may be a repeat here. We booked a Disney World vacation package with dining this fall back before the new ticket prices went into effect. We are now discovering that there is a significant price difference if we fly in the day before we originally were scheduled to get to Disney World. We don't want to lose the deal we already have booked, so we're thinking of staying at a value resort for one night hotel only stay, then transferring over to the French Quarter the next morning when our vacation was originally going to start and having a pool day. My question involves breakfast the morning our vacation was originally scheduled to start. When do our dining credits and resort mug credits get activated? Do I need to go over to the French Quarter and visit the front desk before we have credits, or can we have breakfast and coffee at the value resort on the dining plan and then transfer? My understanding is that if you use the online resort check-in, you don't have to stop at the front desk, but I didn't know how or when the dining and resort mug credits were activated. We love the podcast and talking Disney, so thanks for bringing that into our lives, Tracy and family. They're up in Chicago, 278 miles from Mike, 483 from Pam, and 734 from Ricky. All right, so Tracy's question. So again, I think a lot of people do this because many times people book their Disney. Well, you should always do this. I'm going to say this as a travel agent. Book your vacation package first, then book your air. Don't book the air first, and then also there's no availability for your dates, then you're in big trouble. So she did it the right way, but then this happens a lot where you discover, wow, the flights, if I come in the night before on like a red eye or, you know, a late night flight, it's cheaper than, you know, I could get a hotel room for the next day even and save money. This happens all the time. So Pam, best advice, because they want to take their mugs to the pool to kind of enjoy that extra day that they're going to be down there and also maybe have breakfast. When do the dining plan credits technically start?
They will start when you actually check in. And my suggestion for anyone who is either transferring from one resort to another or going from one type of reservation, like you've added a room only and then you're going to be switching to a package, is always go ahead and stop by the resort, stop by the front desk, tell them that you've left the other resort or you've left the room and you're now ready to check in for the package part. And at that point, they can make sure that everything looks right on your Magic Man. It's not that the Disney system is not able to handle that kind of thing. It's just that it's confusing to the Disney system. And it would be to any system, really, that because you have two active reservations at the same time. So just stop by the front desk. You will have to be at your the resort. You will have to make sure that everything's working. Make sure the dining plan credits are working. Have them actually check your Magic Band. I actually do. I've said this on the podcast a few times that I actually tap my band and I say, can you please check to make sure it's working? And then they'll do that for you.
You know, so, kinda, I do that as well. I have them check it because I just give it to them. Is everything good on this band? That's always a good practice. Just like precautionary, you know, an ounce of prevention or prevention is worth a pound of cure. You know, one of those things. And, you know, another tip that I have kind of unrelated to this is that the night before, the day or two before, I make my fast passes online, like at day 60, like at day 62. I do this a lot of times just for my peace of mind. This is the kind of person I am. Is that I'll call the My Disney Experience help desk, which is a quick, you can Google the number, and just ask them. I'll be like, can you just check my account and make sure everything's good to go? That way that morning I'm not panicked if I'm trying to get a Flights of Passage or, you know, Frozen Ever After, something that's high demand. It just gives me peace of mind because they are really good about that, being able to say, oh yeah, we saw this, we're going to fix that real quick for you. Probably don't need to do it 95% of the time. It's paranoia. But Pam, I mean, those are kind of the things that if you're proactive, you're putting yourself in the best position to give you the best advantage or, you know, just have a smooth vacation experience. I know a lot of times things happen and you got to go to guest relations or you got to call Disney to get things resolved. But I like to say, you know what? I have 10 minutes tonight. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm just going to call this number and see what happens.
I do it all the time. And we try to advise guests of that. It's funny because over in the Mouse for Less, we have a group that's associated with that page. And I think it's a piece of advice that we often offer. And then, of course, you'll get people who are like, well, you don't need to do that. I've done it many times and it's worked fine. you know what? The first time it doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You'll remember that for the rest of your life because it will take you so much more time to correct it if it doesn't work than if you would just have proactively addressed it. And I think that's what having an agent is about, to proactively help you kind of think through some of these things and give you advice. And even if in the end, the cast member looks at like you have eight heads and like, why is this person asking me to do this? At least, you know, it's working right. So
I'll tell you what, too, being a travel agent for the last 8 to 9 years makes me the most paranoid person in the world because I've seen everything happen. Like, now I should knock on wood. I haven't seen everything, probably. But like that hurricane season last year, like I'll never cruise without travel insurance ever, ever, ever because of last year's hurricanes. And I mean, I don't care if it's January with the weather. It's, you know, it's almost school's getting out here soon and it's snowing in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I am not even playing games with taking chances on my trips anymore. So anyway,
and that's it. And that's the biggest problems. I'll clue y'all in, are some of the biggest problems we have are things that people never thought about. And that's plane delays. People have seriously missed their cruises because of plane delays, because first of all, they didn't fly in the day early, like Pam Forrester always recommends. And secondly, because there was just a plane delay, and you can't always predict those. It doesn't even always have to do with weather. Sometimes it's a mechanical issue or so many other things. So those are some of the biggest things. And not having insurance, without insurance, then they're like, well, what will Disney do for me? Yeah, nothing.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be weather in Central Florida. It could be weather in some other part of the country that doesn't even, not even near you or Florida. It could
That's right.
So got to think of that. All right. Last question of the day is coming from Kelly. It's a question about being taking a trip while pregnant. My husband and I surprised my mom and brother with a trip over Memorial Day weekend. And then a couple of weeks ago, we found out I was pregnant. We are very excited, but I know now this trip for me is going to look different. I was really looking forward to the time with everyone, and I was wondering if it would be possible for me to wait in line with them, even on the rides I can't ride. I would love to see things like the Rock and Roller Coaster pre-show, but I don't want to take away from everyone else's ride experience by requiring the cast members to let me out of the line. Is it okay for me to purposely get in line for something I know I can't ride? Also, any ideas on what I should do while the rest of my group rides? We're usually going as fast as we can from one ride to the next, so I'm out of my element. I love the show and appreciate all the time you put in to help us plan our Disney trips. Kelly is down in Birmingham, Alabama. She says, Roll Tide. That's right, SEC Roll Tide. All right, so Kelly, good. First of all, congratulations. That's the most important thing. And again, with this, here's the thing about pregnant Disney fans. I've learned over the years, it's kind of one of those interesting things that Disney fans that are, it sounds like Kelly is one of those people that just loves to go on every ride. Like, I'm going ride. You know what? Those rides are going to be there most likely for the next 20 years. And you don't have to ride them this trip. You know what? If you have a question, don't ride it. The kid's more important. You know what? You're going to ride that ride with your kids soon enough. Just chill. Just have fun. Waiting in line, Pam. So walk her through that, because that's absolutely something you can do. And you know what? When you get up to Rock and Roller Coaster, instead of saying you're pregnant, just go, man, I'm not riding on that death trip. No way. I'm going to go upside down. And, you know, throw a big fit. And that'll be really exciting for everybody. You know, your family will love you for that. And you'll be escorted out just like you would any other day. You know, so do that.
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes the queue is one of the best parts of the attraction. And sometimes there are rides that I can't really do. I keep trying to do Star Tours. Every time I do it, I think on the first 1 minute, I'm like, oh, now I remember. This is why I don't do this ride. And I always think, oh, sure, you just feel a little ill, like whatever. No, when I'm seriously thinking I'm going to vomit on this ride during the first 1 minute, then I remember why I didn't do Star Tours for a while. But I love the queue. I'm a Star Wars fan. I like hearing C-3PO talk to R2-D2. I like that whole interaction. And I think that sometimes the queues are just awesome. I mean, think about Rock and Roller Coaster and think about Tower of Terror. Those are awesome, awesome queues, and don't feel like you should miss them because you don't want to ride the attraction. What you're going to do is when you get up to where they're sort of loading for that, let the cast member know, hey, I'm not going to ride this attraction. And they'll direct you to what they call the chicken exit, which isn't just for chickens. It's for people who have other reasons that they don't want to ride that attraction.
They only make fun of you for like 2 minutes. About
they take your picture and they put it up on a bulletin board. But what do you care? You don't ever get to see the bulletin board, so it doesn't matter. But anyways, yeah, so just go and enjoy the queue, any queue that you want. And the people behind you will be glad you're not riding because they might get on because you didn't ride. So it'll all be good.
Heck yeah. Get out of my way. I want to get in that last seat on Tower of Terror. You know, it's good stuff. So, you know what? My wife does this, you know, not, she's just like, she doesn't like Space Mountain. There's a lot of rides she doesn't like because it's just, you know, and I'm getting that way quickly. Like some of these things just rearrange my vertebrae, you know, and I can't take it anymore. So she will go, she's the queen of shopping. You know, she will go in a nearby store because it, like if you're waiting for folks at Space Mountain, if it's nice weather, she'll just sit and kind of catch up on her social media right there on one of those tables alongside. There's like outdoor tables there kind of by the speedway. But a lot of times she will go down to Main Street and just kind of walk through the stores, air conditioning. You know, you don't want to be out in the heat. But Ricky, what would you suggest for somebody that's in this situation? Like, how do you kill time if your friends that you're traveling with are all doing the thrill rides, like a Tower of Terror Rock and Roller Coaster? I mean, is it shopping? Is it going snacking? Is it just hanging out in the... I've sat in the Tower of Terror in that exit area. It's nice and cool. It's kind of like sitting in a basement. It's kind of crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, the good thing is that she can walk through the queue with her family, so she's not going to be waiting that long, you know. So, but if she wanted to not, you know, go on the ride and, you know, not go through the queue, she could absolutely do something like grab a snack, which is totally what I would do.
Yeah.
Or, you know, she's pregnant. So, I mean, eat all the snacks you want, right?
Yes. You're eating for two, at least you might be eating for three or four. Who knows?
Or I would go shopping. Like you said, you've got a little one that you can buy all sorts of Disney stuff for too. So you can go do that too. Or, like you said, Mike, I would probably catch up on social media. If it's me, I would just be sitting there and doing that. So those are the three things that I would probably do as well. But I would definitely go grab a snack. That's number one.
That's right. You're eating for two, so I have a snack for each hand. You know, just
exactly.
Mickey bar, ice cream sandwich.
Yes.
And just, you know, eat them up. All right. So have fun. And it's going to be a great trip, really. I've said this many times on the podcast. That trip that we took the first time when Pam was pregnant, it was our first anniversary. Had to slow down. Man, we had a great time because there was no stress. Like, it was great. I loved it because, man, because especially back then, I mean, Mallory's 10 now. Like, I used to go just like a bandit. Like, I couldn't stop. Like, now I've learned, like, you know, I've seen everything a lot of times. I'm lucky. But back then, it was just like, I don't know if I'm ever getting back, you know? So I was just like, just running from stuff everywhere, every day. I was so tired. We had to slow down. It was awesome. Like, oh my gosh, we can slow down and sit on a bench and eat a pretzel. It was crazy. So you're gonna have a great time. All right, so that's gonna do it for today's question. Send more in. We love these questions. Mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Today's show, of course, brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And Ricky, lots going on. You can unlock your doors with your phone. You got Woody's Lunchbox. What are we reading about this week on the app?
Delicious food at Woody's Lunchbox, but that's beside the point. Yes. So we are going to go into Pandora, the world of Avatar, where soon, and actually I guess I should say now because it's testing, guests are going to be able to encounter a pilot wearing a Pandora Conservation Initiative utility suit.
Scariest thing in the history of the world. If I was a kid and I saw this thing walking, I would have nightmares for like 6 months because I've never said this on this show. Never. When I was a kid, I would wake up. I had these nightmares. I remember this. Like, it was like an ongoing nightmare for like 6 months. I'd have to run into my parents' room. I had this nightmare that my high chair from my grandparents' house was chasing me. It was like,
no.
It was, I swear, I'm not kidding. My grandparents' house, it was like you could run a circle in it. You know, some houses, like you can do a full like circuit, like through the kitchen, the laundry room, the family room. Like there was like a path, like you could do a circle. It was like a never ending. It's one of those dreams or nightmares where the high chair would multiply. Like there was a legion of high chairs just boom. It's kind of like the Sorcerer's, you know, like a Fantasia or something. They were chasing me around. I am not kidding. And so that's exactly what I thought of when I saw that walker. But go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
It was crazy.
Well, there's that. So anyway, so this walking suit, basically, will be walking amid the moons, floating mountains, waterfalls, and native flora to study the wildlife, collect plant samples, and survey Pandora's terrain, as well as interact with guests. So not really sure what guests are going to do with him, but you know, I guess we can talk to him about what that plant is, that weird looking swirly plant is. I don't know. I got nothing. But anyway, you're going to get to meet or and talk to this Pandoran thing, which I'm sure is just going to turn into a meet and greet thing because people are just going to want to get their picture taken with it.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah. He likes my story. No, that's one of those things. If you see me, like, because apparently the Star Wars half marathon that's taking place just in about 10 days now on Sunday, we're running through Pandora. So if one of those things is out, I might run a PR, you know, because I'm going to be running as fast as I can from that thing because that thing is scary looking. I'm just saying. I've never seen the movie. I guess they're in the movie, but kind of weird.
Something similar is in the movie. It's not exactly the same thing. It's a similar type situation, though.
Alrighty. So there you go. If you want to have nightmares, go by and grab Theme Park News Disney Edition. Great app. It's free. It turns your Apple device into a Disney device right now. VirtualMickey.com. Don't forget to support the show on Amazon. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. If you're buying a high chair, if you're buying therapeutic videos to get over your nightmares from when you were six, anything you buy, use the link. It supports the show. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. We've actually got a Instagram page starting now for the podcast as well. It's at BeOurGuestPod, I believe. Is that on
Same with Twitter?
Yeah, there you go.
We so do.
Follow,
yes.
Follow. Ricky's doing a good job with
Wonder
that.
Who's doing it.
I know, it's not me. So I can't hardly keep up with my own stuff. So there you go. All right, so we're going to be back again on Friday. Come hungry, or don't come hungry, or bring a snack or whatever, because we're going to be talking about, you know, some great eats that you've probably never tried before, especially if you're going down this summer, some of the new newer places that are not open quite yet, but should be this summer, and some of the newer places that we're going to check out that have recently opened. So just trying to spice up some of those dining options. You don't have to go to 50s Primetime every time like I do. You know, Backlot Express, you can only have a few, you know, so many times. So we're going to give you some other options.
Mom, I hope you're excited.
That's it. That's right. Ricky's taking you to Backlot, getting you some Vader waffles. So get excited. All right. So we'll be back again on Friday. So Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.